See, Bill tried to stay sober on self-knowledge, and Roland tried to stay sober on self-knowledge, and Jim tried to stay sober on self-knowledge, and Fred was going to stay sober on self-knowledge. And after all these illustrations, he says once more, he told us through all these illustrations, now he's going to tell us once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must, there's that word again, his defense must come from a higher power. And you can't heal a sick mind with a sick mind. You can't think your way out of it. The more you try to think your way out of it, the deeper into it you get. Because we just can't heal a sick mind with a sick mind. Our defense must come from a higher power.
Through this chapter now, he's closed the door on me. There's no longer any doubt in my mind that if I don't find that power greater than human power, because of my insanity, then sooner or later I'm going to return back to drinking again. And he did it in a perfect way by using examples, and every one of us can see ourselves through at least one of those examples. In my case, nearly all of them. I don't believe I ever got into jaywalking, but all the other stuff I certainly did, you know. So he's closed the door on me now. He's let me see exactly what's going to happen to me if I don't have that spiritual experience or that spiritual awakening. Let's have some lunch, and we'll pick up again about, say, about 1:15, okay? Everybody going to get sleepy this afternoon?
Yeah,
we will, too. Joe and I have kind of learned to sleep with our eyes open, and he talks a while I sleep, and then I talk a while he sleeps, and every once in a while we both sleep at the same time.
Yeah.
So, we finished up this morning with the chapter more about alcoholism. We talked about the insanity that precedes the taking of the first drink. And I'm still amazed today how many people in AA think that all the crazy, stupid things we did while drunk is the insanity. And, of course, we said that it really wasn't. That's caused by alcohol itself. The insanity is simply the inability to see the truth about alcohol. And just before we take the first drink, we can't see the truth about it. We believe a lie. We take the drink, and that triggers the allergy, and we end up drunk. I can see Bill again as he finishes up with Chapter 3, reviewing what he's done up to this point, probably saying to himself, I was able to show them the problem in the doctor's opinion, able to give them an example of the problem in my story, Bill's story, was able to show them the solution in Chapter 2, and I was able to show them what's going to happen to them in Chapter 3 if they don't find that solution. And as we said at the closing up the last session, he's closed the door on us now. He's left no doubt in our mind that if we don't find that power greater than human power, we're going to end up going back drinking again, becoming insane and drinking and maybe die from alcoholism. And if you're an alcoholic of my type, which most of you are, I'm sure, and if you were raised in the church setting that I was raised in, at the end of Chapter 3, you're faced with a real dilemma. Because, you see, I was raised in a good old Southern Baptist church. Now, please don't get me wrong. The good old Southern Baptist church is a good church. It was a good church when I was a kid. It's a good church today. But it seems to me as though when I went to the good old Southern Baptist church as a young kid growing up, that I never heard anything good about God. I'm sure they talked about God and talked about good things, but that message never got to the pew that I sat in. As I remember so clearly, the only thing that I can remember hearing about God in church is hellfire and brimstone. Going to hell for lying and cheating and stealing and drinking whiskey and committing adultery. By the time I got to AA, I'd been doing that for about 26 years. And I knew that God had already told St. Peter, when that little four-eyed sucker gets up here, send him downstairs. We'll not need his kind. Now, I remember so clearly when I separated from God and separated from the church. When I was a kid going to church there, they told me the things I could do and what I couldn't do. And they said, if you do this and this, you're going to be okay. If you do that, that, and that, you're going to hell just sure as anything. And I didn't have any trouble with any of that until I got to be about 12 or 13 years old. And one day the minister looked me straight in the eye and he said, to think about doing it is just as bad as doing it. And I thought, if I'm going to go to hell for thinking about doing it, then I might as well just go ahead and do it.
And I did it. And I didn't go to hell immediately. And I said to myself, that sucker's been lying to me all along. And I made up my mind that day that that preacher and my parents and my teachers in school had joined together in a conspiracy to keep me from having any fun. And I said to hell with them. From now on, I'm going to do what I want to, whenever I want to, and if they don't like it, that's just tough. And I walked away from God. I walked away from the church. I walked away from parental discipline, teacher discipline, or anything else, and started doing things my way. I was about 13 years old when that happened to me. Now, when I get to AA, I'm 40 years old. And I find out I'm going to have to come to some kind of terms with this God thing. And it would seem to be almost an impossibility for people like me to do that. Thank God Bill Wilson's a real alcoholic, because he knew just exactly how I was going to feel when I got here. He knew my thoughts regarding this God thing. And he knew that I was going to have the same kind of difficulty with this God thing that he had himself. So I think he says to himself, maybe I better give them some more information or some new information where they'll be able to make a decision about this God thing. Because in just a little bit, we're going to have to decide between steps one and step two. And he sat down and he wrote another chapter called We Agnostics. And I think it's one of the greatest pieces of spiritual information I've ever read in my life. I was amazed when I read it to begin to realize that it doesn't try to tell me that there's any particular kind of God. It doesn't try to prove to me that there's any kind of God. What it does, it gives me some new ideas about God, so I can discard some of my old ideas about God and be able to make the decision that I'm going to be called upon to make in the chapter following this one. And without chapter 4, I never would have been able to make that decision. He called it We Agnostics. Let's look at it for a few minutes, Joe.
And I love the chapter We Agnostic, because Gnostic means knowledge. Put the ag in front of it, with, it says without. Those of us who are without knowledge, or at least the knowledge I had was that of a 6 or 7 year old boy, because I put God out of my life and out of my mind and lived that way for many, many years. Bill knew that we were going to feel about this spiritual solution the same way he did. He said, remember when he said that they talked to God who was personal to me? I have my mind snapped shut against such theories. He knew that we too were going to have those same kind of ideas, some of us. So he wrote this chapter, We Agnostics, for people like us. Later on in the book, it says that when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. The spiritual malady overcome. We straighten out mentally and physically. And Dr. Jung said that ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were the guiding force of the lives of these people, were suddenly cast to one side, and a whole new set of motives began to dominate them. So I got to look at my old ideas, emotions, and attitudes about God in this chapter, We Agnostic. And I'm like, Charlie, this is the greatest piece of spiritual information that I've ever read, and it's not here to tell me that there's a particular type of God or a particular type of religion or anything else. It's simply put in this place so that I may read it and question it and wonder about it. So open up my mind to a point that God might prove to me that there's a God. Because it says later on that the consciousness of my belief is sure to come to me as a result of this chapter, We Agnostics. He knew he was going to get ready to make a decision too. Step 3 is coming up. And he had to give me some new information about God. So I never could have made the decision based upon the knowledge that I had at 6 or 7 years old, which is all that I had. I rejected it then, I rejected it later on, and I reject it today. I have to have some new ideas, because the old ideas that I had were not working. He said in the preceding, on page 44, in the preceding chapters, you've learned something of alcoholism. We hope we've made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely.
That's because of the obsession.
Or, when drinking, you have little control of the amount you take.
That's because of the allergy.
You are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness, which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Alcoholism is a very special illness. It's a spiritual illness. Straighten out with a spiritual experience. And we can come out of this illness in better shape than what we were when we went into it. Thank God. Because of the spiritual experience.
I love the simplicity of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Two little questions to determine if you're alcoholic or not. I use them all the time. People come to me today and they say, Charlie, you think I might be alcoholic? And I say, I don't know. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you been able to quit drinking entirely, left on your own resources? If they're real alcoholic, they got to say no. And I say, do you have any control over the amount you take when you want to start drinking? If they're real alcoholic, they got to say no. Then I say, well, you're probably alcoholic. What could be more simple than that? But you see how people like to change things. They took these two little simple questions out of the big book, and the fellowship expanded them to 10 questions to see if you're alcoholic. Next thing you know, they expanded the 10 questions to 20 to see if you're alcoholic. Hell, I think we're up to 44 today. We only need these two. We only need these two.